tonight.
Judges chapter 18. Now we're going to read verses 1 to 10, and then we'll hit a couple of there, and maybe verse 21, verses 27 and 28. Judges chapter 18 tonight. I've entitled this message, Living Life in Laish. Living Life in Laish. Judges chapter 18, verses 1 to 10. The book of Romans chapter 15, verse 4 teaches us and tells us that the things that were written before, were for our learning. And so as we look in the Old Testament here tonight, what are some things we can learn from Judges chapter 18? Of course, a whole lot more what I'm going to be able to tell you tonight. It is action-packed and there is a lot in it. And a lot that doesn't have to do necessarily do with my message strictly here this evening. But there are some things I want to point out tonight that I was reading through, of course, the Lord spake to my heart about, and I want to share it with you here tonight. Living Life in Laish, Judges chapter 18. And we'll begin reading there in verses 1 to 10. But before we do, all of us here tonight, I'm sure, like the idea or have the, you know, enjoy the thought of living life, you know, the best we can, you know, having nice things, living in a good place, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I would say that that's probably a fair assumption for most people. As we look in these verses here tonight, we're going to definitely see some folks who are living in a good place. I mean, it is a tremendous place to live. However, in the midst of this place they're living, there's something else. There's a multitude of issues and a multitude of problems there that we're going to take a look at tonight. But I wanted us to see this evening and how we can relate this to the Christian life and also to the world in general. Now, when we look in these verses and we think about living life in Laish, here in Laish, they were a people that were, of course, they were an idolatrous people. And the tribe of Dan was on their way to go conquer them. And as they were on the way to go conquer them, of course, the tribe of Dan had their own issues as well. They were a people who were kind of idolatrous in and of themselves. And there's a lot of history, you know, for them that we won't get in all that here tonight. But one of the reasons why these folks were looking for another land is they had been fighting, of course, in other places in the land that they were supposed to receive and their inheritance. And they couldn't drive out their enemies. They were having a very difficult time driving out their enemies, and so they began to look for something that was easier. And they were a tribe that was didn't seem as they had quite as much faith, and they didn't follow God as strong as seems as some of these other ones did. And that was probably part of the problem. I think we can understand just in life in general, when we're not walking with God like we need to, we are definitely weaker in our spiritual lives. And when things come up to us, battles and whatever it is that we may need to face, we are weaker against the challenges, against these things, than we would be had we have been walking with the Lord and been filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And so we can see the tribe of Dan. Here they are looking for a place. And we're going to begin there here in verse 1 and go through a few things here tonight that I think will help you. But we can see, as I said, this tribe, they are looking for land. I think probably perhaps their lack of faith had put them in this position. Their lack of their walk with God had maybe perhaps got them where they are. And so they are looking for something a whole lot easier. They're looking for a battle that they can win that won't be as difficult, that won't be as hard. And so they come to find this place called Laish. Now, Laish means lion in the scriptures. But Laish was only a lion in word. It was not a lion in any other way. But let's take a look at it here tonight. Let's begin there in verse 1, read down to verse 10, and this will pull some things out. I think it'll be a blessing to you, because we're going to see tonight as we go through this, we're going to see some folks that do have a lot, and they have a place that's worth living, and they have a place that's worth defending, and they have a place that's worth fighting for. But because they got some issues going on in their city, it has become, and because it is such a problem, we see that they're getting ready to lose everything they got. And so as we take a look at the text here tonight, let's make sure that we understand that they're some things that we learn, these truths, some things that we can see out of this text here in this city that we can apply to our heart and life today to say, you know what, let's make sure that we don't do these things in our life. So let's begin there in verse 1. The Bible says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in. For unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. And as I said, though they had fought, and though they were looking for a place, they had not found one yet. The Bible says in verse 2, and the children of Dan sent of their family five men from their coast, men of valor, from Zorah and from Eshtol, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said unto them, go search the land, who, when they came to Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. And when they were there by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite. And they turned in thither and said unto him, who brought thee hither? And what makest thou in this place? And why and what hast thou here? And he said unto them, thus and thus dealeth with Micah with me, and hath hired me, and I am his priest. And they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. And the priest said unto them, go in peace. Before the Lord is your way wherein you go. Then the five men departed, and they came to Laish, and they saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure. And there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything, and they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. And they came unto their brethren, to Zorah, to Eshtol, and their brethren, and said unto them, what say ye? And they said, arise, that we may go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is a very good, and it is very good. And are you still? Be not slothful to go, and to enter to possess the land. When you go, you shall come unto a people secure, and to a large land, for God hath given it into your hands, a place where there is no want of anything that is in the earth. Now, as we think about that very last text right there, that very last verse, I mean, can you imagine living in a city, living in a place where there is no want of anything else in the earth? I mean, that sounds like a pretty good place to live. I mean, you walk in there, you're living in the city. I mean, it seems like a really magnificent place. I mean, you go in, the Bible tells us there in verse 10 that it is a large place. It seems like there is ample room for everybody. There is enough space. I mean, they have a lot that's going on there. But not only is it a large place, but I mean, the text says that it is a place where there is no want of anything that is in the earth. I mean, this place really has it happening. This place, Laish, has the resources of anything that anybody would ever need. I mean, they are self-sufficient. It seems like they are independent. And there they are, just living there by themselves. Doesn't seem like they're really doing no trade with anybody. The Bible says they have no business with any man. And so here they are, they're living in this self-sustaining, isolated place, and the Bible says that there's no need of anything. Everything that they need is right there. Everything that they could want is right there. I mean, that sounds like a pretty awesome place. I mean, you don't even have to leave. Everything is right there. What I find interesting is, in this text, is that whenever we get to verse 7, we're going to see, of course, God's people. We see the tribe of Dan. They are looking for a place. They're looking for an inheritance. They've been fighting for one. They haven't been able to find one. And so they journey up. They journey up north, and as they make their way north, they get to a place where really the people up there are dwelling pretty safely and securely. You know, they're not really looking for a whole lot. They're not really paying attention to a whole lot. I mean, this is a place the Bible says that the people are dwelling safely and securely. Take a look at verse 7, and let's get to our very first truth here tonight. Now, the very first truth I want us to see here is, as we think about this city and we apply this to our life, and we think about our life, and listen, all of us here tonight, we have a lot to lose. Every single one of us, we have a lot to lose. And if we live our life in these ways, in which we're going to see that this city lived its life, then we are setting ourselves up to lose everything we got. Now let's take a look at it. The very first thing there in verse 7. The Bible says, well, when these five men, when they departed, they came to Laish, this place that means lion. When they came there, the Bible says they saw the people, that were therein. Number one, the very first truth is, the Bible says, is how they dwelt careless. First truth is, I want us to see that they were indifferent. They were indifferent about the place where they lived. Now, when we think about our life, when we think about the things we have in life and the things we love and care about, when we think about whether it's our immediate family, whether it's our church, whatever it could be, when we think about the things that we love, even our possessions, all of it, when we think about these things, the Bible shows us here that these men, these spies, they come in, they looked out at the land, and they looked at the people. And as they looked at the people, the Bible says, shows us that they lived a very careless life. These folks were living very indifferent. There were spies that came in and nobody even recognized who they were. There were spies that came in, nobody asked any questions. There were people that came in, nobody seemed to pay them no attention. Nobody paid them no mind. They were just, the people that were living there were just very unsuspecting. They were very, maybe perhaps unexpecting. I mean, they weren't expecting anything to happen. They weren't suspecting anybody to come through. They weren't looking for any danger. They weren't watching for any danger, but danger was right there at their doorstep. And I'm just trying to get us to see here tonight that as we live our life and understand, I know we're talking about the tribe of Dan as God's people, but as we look at the city of Laish and we try to apply this city to our life and how if we're not careful and we act like them, we can lose everything we got. Just understand this, the enemy is always looking for something. Amen. The enemy is always looking for something. The enemy is looking for something to get. The enemy is looking for something to destroy. The enemy is looking for something to grab a hold of. The enemy is looking for something to empty you of and fill himself with. And so we can see here in the text, we can see that the tribe of Dan, they sent five men, and the Bible says they came in, and the very first thing they noticed was they noticed how careless the people were living. They noticed that the people were very indifferent in their life. Nobody paid them any attention. They were overlooked. They were unnoticed, and they were just very careless in their living. They had towers. They had defenses. They had these things, but there was nobody watching. There was nobody paying attention to who was coming in. There was nobody asking any questions. Oftentimes, in most of your cities, you would have your defense walls and you would have your towers, and then you would have people that was in those towers, and they would be looking to see who's coming. And when people came in that maybe perhaps looked suspicious, or when people came in that seemed like maybe they were foreigners and didn't belong there, they would talk to them and they would ask questions, and they would meet people at the gate, but it seemed like the gates were always open. The towers were there, but nobody was there. I mean, there was nothing, nobody was watching. Nobody was standing there watching for the enemy that was coming through the gate. And listen, let me tell you something. We got to be careful in our Christian life that we are always being observant and being watchful in our Christian life, because there's, as the Bible says, the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and he's always looking and he's always watching. And listen, there are folks out here in this world that are energized by the devil himself too, and they're always looking and they're always watching, looking for a place to get in, looking for something to destroy, looking for something to bring down. And the Bible says there in verse 7 that there were these five men, they came in to Laish. And when they came in, one of the very first things they noticed was how careless the people were living. How careless the people were living. Now, some folks may want to say, well, you know what? I don't want to live my life too careful, because I don't want to be one of them fanatical, crazy Christians that everybody talks about, you know? I don't want to be too much of a Christian. Does that even make sense? I'm not even sure. But I don't want to be too much of a Christian, you know. I don't be one of them radical people that people talk about and they think, well, they're nuts. Hey, I've been called a lot of things in my life. I'll settle for that. If somebody called me nuts, that's better than some of the things I've been called in my life. Amen. And so we can see here there in verse 7, the Bible says that they came in, these spies came in, and one of the very first things they noticed was how the people of Laish, they dwelt carelessly in their life. But why would these people want to dwell so carelessly in their life when they're in verse 10, the Bible tells us how much they had to offer. I mean, they had a large land, there was plenty for everybody, they had tremendous resources. The Bible says it was a place where there was no want of anything that is in this earth. I mean, it seems like a dream place to be in. Why in the world, at such a great place, would there be no one that's watching and paying attention as to what's coming through the gate? Why would nobody be watching? I think that even goes to our families as well. You know, even we think about our own personal lives. Listen, as God's people, listen, as our families, we got to watch what's coming through the gate. Amen. We got to filter what's coming through the door. We got to filter what's coming through the gate. Listen, we got to filter everything that comes into the house, everything that comes at us, everything that comes at the kids. We got to filter these things out, because the devil's always looking, the world's always looking to come inside the gate. But here they had so much to offer. Listen, does your family not have a whole lot to offer? Yes, you love your family, you love your kids, and the last thing that you want, nor do I want, is to see the devil come in and destroy that which we love and have. And so we got to be watchful, standing there at the gate, doing everything we can to be observant and paying attention, because the devil's always spying out the land. Always spying out the land. But one of the things they noticed was, as we see, one of the first ways that they was going to lose everything they got is how they lived so carelessly in their life. There was nobody watching. There was nobody paying no attention. There was these spies. They were being overlooked. The Bible even tells us. Look over there in verse 28. And the Bible tells us whenever they were in battle with the tribe of Dan. Notice the Bible says there was no deliverer. There was no deliverer. They had people just walked around. They were living their life. They had no weapons. I mean, there was nobody there that could deliver them from the onslaught of the enemy that was coming their way. And that is one of the reasons why they lost all that they had, because they were living their life so carelessly. And listen, I'm just trying to get us to see tonight. Listen, those out here that are lost tonight, They are in a losing battle this evening. For one, they don't have the deliverer, amen, and so they're losing. But also, I want you to understand this too: when we are living our life carelessly, and we're living like the world, and we're walking like the world, and when we say it and we quote it all the time that the way of transgressors is hard, and we see what sin does to us, we see what sin does to a family, we see what sin does to a nation, we see the effects of it, and we see the ugliness of it, and the wretchedness, and the vileness, and the wickedness of it. We see all these things, and we got to be, as God's people, we got to be careful that we are observing and watching what's coming through the door. We got to be making sure that we are a people that we are standing there, filtering all the things that come in. The Bible says here in verse 7, the very first thing they noticed was how the people dwelt carelessly. They had so much. They had things that were of tremendous importance. They had things that were of tremendous value. But yet they were very careless. They were very careless in how they lived their life. There were no watchers. There were no military people. There was no people ready to defend. There was no people that could defend. They were just haphazardly just living their life. Now, they seemed not to care too much about what's coming in and outside the gate. And listen, that's part of the problem with a lot of homes across America tonight, is that the people just don't care too much about what's coming in and what's going out. Amen. Let's just be honest. I mean, when we stop caring about what's coming in and what's coming out, and we just live a life that's just careless, listen, we are setting ourselves up. Listen, the enemy is spying that out. The enemy is seeing that, and the enemy is spying that out. And when he sees that you are living your life in such a careless way, you are setting yourself up for the devil to come in and completely take away and ruin everything you got. The Bible shows this right here. That's the very first thing they noticed when the Danaites, whenever they came in, the very first thing they noticed is how careless they lived here in this city. How careless that they lived. Notice the Bible says how they dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure. I mean, these people, they were here. It almost seems like they were just almost like a prideful people. They were unsuspecting. They were unprepared. I mean, it's almost like they live a life of no concerns. You know, it's almost like, well, nothing's ever happened before. We're not really worried about anything. Oh, everything's going to be all right. And that's how they lived their life. And the whole time they're saying this, the Danites are in their city. And listen, the whole time we're saying these types of things, well, I'm not worried about it. It'll be okay. Well, it's just a little this and it's just a little that. Well, it's just five men. What can five men possibly do? Listen, the devil was spying out the land in our lives. And whenever he came through and he spied out the land, he saw how careless we were living, and then he brought the whole entourage with him. And we got to be careful here tonight, how we are living our lives. Because listen, we have a lot to offer. We have a lot to give. Just like it was saying there in verse 10, the people of Laish, I mean, they had a great place. I mean, it was a place where there is no want of anything. It was a place that was large. I mean, it was a very nice place. But the problem is that the people weren't living very good in this very nice place. And because they weren't living in, because they were living so careless in their life, they made it very easy for the Danites just to walk in and take everything that they had. And listen, if we live our life the very same way, we're going to make it so easy for the devil just to walk in and take everything we got. And listen, whether we're talking about that as families, you know, as individuals, as we face attacks from the devil himself, or as we think about it as a family unit, as the devil attacks the family and the world attacks the family, or as we think about it as a church as well, you know, listen, the devil's always seeking to get inside those front doors right there. Amen. The devil's always looking. Listen, he's looking to get in your life. He's looking to get in your family. And he's always looking to get inside those front doors. And listen, we got to make sure that we are a people, that we are filtering what's coming in and what's coming out of our life, and also what's coming straight through those doors. Because the Bible shows us right here that as they were living this careless life, there were spies that had come in, and their intentions were evil. Their intentions were to destroy this land. And so we can see these five men. They came to Laish. The very first thing they saw was how the people dwelt careless in their life. Seemed like they had no concerns. They were leaderless. There was nobody there that was in charge, it seems. Notice this is the very second thing. So we see the first thing is that they were indifferent in their life. Listen, we must not have an indifferent attitude about sin and the things around us. Amen. Don't be careless. The Bible says also, notice the other problem. The second problem was this. Not only were they indifferent, but notice the Bible says how they dwelt careless in the land. But Bible also says that there was no magistrate in the land. So here we're going to see their immorality. We're going to see their crimes. We're going to see their lawlessness. Notice what the Bible says about this. The Bible says there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. Now, what is a magistrate? A magistrate is a judge, one administrator, an administrator of the law, so to speak. And so when somebody does something that they shouldn't do, you know, you either go to court or, you know, you have some dispute, the magistrate would settle that. The Bible says here that in the land, that the city that they were living in, not only were people unsuspecting, not only were the people unprepared, not only were the people paying no attention, not only did it seem like they were indifferent and they just didn't care, not only were they defenseless in their life, but the Bible says right here that there was no magistrate in the land. There was no laws. There was no final authority. There was no, everybody just lived how they want to live, did what they wanted to do. Listen, when we get to a place where a man starts doing what's right in his own eyes, we're in trouble. And I said that the other day. And that's kind of where they were. There was no magistrate in the land. And notice what the Bible says about that. The Bible says there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. And so there was no accountability. They lived how they wanted to live. There was no rules. There was no regulations. No moral compass to follow. No accountability. There was no boundaries and there was no limits. Now I can tell you this. Now verse 10 may sound awful good. And the verse 10 sounds good when you say, oh, this is a big land and it's got a lot of resources. And listen, if you live here, you'll never want of anything in your whole life. But now we're kind of starting to get a little bit more into this city, and we're kind of thinking, I don't know if I'd really want to live here or not. I mean, it kind of sounded good to begin with, but now that I'm kind of looking a little bit more into it, I don't think I'd want to live there. I mean, would you want to live in a place where there was no limits and no boundaries and no rules and there was no judge and there was no courts and nobody made no accountability, nobody making sure that everybody's doing what they're supposed to do and everybody was living how they want to live? The Bible says here that there was nobody there to put them to shame in anything that they were doing. They were just living how they were. Man, this was a pagan city. They served Baal and Ashtaroth. I mean, these people were wicked, evil people. And the Danites had come in, and the very first thing they noticed is they were very indifferent, but they also seen their immorality, and their immorality was going unchecked. And I'm just trying to get us to see tonight that we live a life where we are indifferent and careless about what's coming in and out of our life, and we live a life that is immoral like these folks, and where they're, well, we can care less about what we're doing, we can care less about where we're going, we can care less about what we're saying, we can care less about what we're thinking, we can care less about any of these things, and we can see that their immorality was off the charts. The Bible says that there was no one there to put them to shame in anything. in anything. The problem is one of the things they were without is they were out without the Word of God. Amen. They were without somebody there. They were without the Word of God there. They were without somebody there that can teach them and show them the right ways of God. And because they did not have that, we see that a city left to its own self did what a city of sinners does, whatever is right in their own eyes, and there was nobody there to put them to shame in anything. And so we can see there in verse 7. A lot of issues. They were indifferent. They were careless. But we also see their immorality. We see their crimes. We see their lawlessness. I mean, I don't know about you, but even if there was a place that it seemed like it had all the resources that you want, if everybody just walked around living and doing what they wanted to do, and crime was through the roof, and there wasn't nobody there to hold them accountable, I don't think I would want to live there. But there were a lot of people that were living there, and that's the way they were living. They were living a life totally lawless against God. What a good picture of a lost and dying world and a sinner himself living away from God, living careless in his life. Like eternity is not, but just a heartbeat and a breath away. But just living their life as haphazardly and carelessly as possible. I mean, paying no attention. I mean, taking no thought of eternity, taking no thought about what they're doing and how they're living, taking no thought of it whatsoever. And they are living in this kind of, they are living this type of life with no thought, just careless in their life. And not just that, but we see that the immoral life, the lawless life against God, the crimes that they're committing in their life, and there is nobody there to hold them accountable. But here tonight we have the Word of God that shows us the right way, which helps us to follow the ways of truth and opens the light for us to see and what we need to do and how we need to act and how, you know, the Bible even tells us, did you know the Bible tells us what to even think about? It's exactly right. Think on these things. Things that are good, things that are honest, things that are just, good report. All these things. The Bible tells us what to think about. The Bible says to take every thought captive, does it not? And so listen, as God's people, we got to see, listen, we can't just live a careless life, because when we do, we're living just like the world. I mean, this city was a city of the world. And because they were a city of the world, they were living carelessly in their life. They didn't care what was coming in and going out. It made absolutely no difference to them. They weren't paying attention to what was coming in and out of the gate. It made no difference to them. It seemed like they could just live with whatever was coming, whatever was happening, whatever took place. They just lived with it. So we can see their immorality. We can see their crimes and their lawlessness here in this place. And their indifference and their immorality and lawlessness was one of the things that was going to destroy their city. Notice we see the next thing. The Bible says, not only was there no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything, but the Bible says that they were far from the Zidonians. The Zidonians, the next group of people, some miles away, but far enough away, but miles away to where if something happened to the folks of Laish that they couldn't do anything to help them out. And the Bible says, notice the Bible says that they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. So not only do we see their indifference, not only do we see their immorality and their carelessness and their lawlessness, but we also see their isolation. Their isolation, their confinement. We see that they were lonely. And I tell you what, the devil will bring you to a place of confinement. The world will bring it, and the devil will bring you to a place of loneliness, bring you to a place where you are isolated and out of fellowship. I mean, isn't that what the demons did to the demoniac of Gadara? Did everything they could to isolate him away from everybody. Took him up into the catacombs where he was up there in the tombs cutting himself. Isolated him away from everybody. No fellowship with nobody. Just cut fellowship off altogether. And we can see right here, that's one of their downfalls. One of the reasons why they were going to be taken over was because they had no business with any man. There was no fellowship. They had no friends. They had nobody that was there. My Bible tells me that iron sharpens iron. Listen, I've always been, one of my mottos has always been, and I'm sure you've heard me say this before, one of my mottos has always been throughout my Christian life and even in my ministry, that fellowship makes family. That's I've always believed it, and I've always said it. It's just my opinion. I believe that fellowship makes family, and when you fellowship together, you bond together, you grow together, you love together, you go through things together. Listen, without fellowship, how do you get to know each other? Without fellowship, how do you get to love each other? Without fellowship, how do you do these things? And so fellowship makes family. And we can see right here that one of the things that they were doing was that they had totally isolated themselves away from everybody. Now, this wasn't an insulation from everybody, which we ought to live. The Christian life ought to live an insulated life. But this was an isolated life. Notice the Bible says they had no business with what? Any man. With any man. They didn't have no business with anybody. And so they lived a very isolated life. They lived a very confined, lonely life. And because of this, because they lived this way, because they lived so secluded, because they lived so distant from everything and everybody else, the enemy was going to use that against them. And listen, when we decide that we're just going to live some kind of lone ranger Christianity, then maybe our struggles may seem like the more amplified, because iron sharpens iron. And sometimes I'm dull and I need some good godly people to sharpen me up. And sometimes you're dull and you need some good godly people to sharpen you up. Because I tell you what, as when we get out here in this world and we're fighting against this world and fighting all the things that the devil's throwing at us, sometimes we can get a little tired and we can get a little weary and we can get a little dull on the inside. Sometimes we're not as spiritual some days as we would like to be, because we're facing and dealing with so much, and we need some people to come along beside of us to sharpen us up and encourage us and to strengthen us to get through the day. But these people didn't have that, and the enemy was going to take advantage of their isolation. The enemy was going to take advantage of their depravity from everybody else. The enemy was going to take advantage of their immorality, the fact that there was nobody there. There was no moral compass. There was nobody there that was in charge. There was no accountability. The enemy was going to take advantage of the fact that they lived so careless, that people were just in everything that you can think of was just coming in and out. Nobody asked any questions. Nobody said anything. Nobody paid no attention, and nobody cared. And listen, the enemy was going to take advantage of that, because the enemy is always spying. The enemy's spying because the enemy's looking for something good. If you have something good, the enemy's looking to destroy that, no matter what it is, whether it's your personal life, your family, your church, your community, your country, makes no difference. The enemy was looking, and one of the very first things he saw is that they were careless and indifferent. He saw that they were immoral, and they were lawless, and he also saw that they were isolated, they were confined, and they were lonely. So the Bible tells us there in verse 8, we see those three things. The Bible tells us there in verse 8 that they came unto their brethren. So they come, the spies come in, they spy out the land, they see all these things, and they go back. There in verse 8, we see they go back and they report to their friends. And the Bible says they came to their brethren, to Zorah and Eshtol, and their brethren said to them, what say you? In other words, so how'd everything look out there? What'd you find? What'd you see? How'd it go? The Bible says, verse 9, they said, arise, that we may go up against them. For we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. They said, you know what, listen, look at the very next phrase. Notice he says, behold, it is very good. Notice, look at the next phrase. And are ye still? In other words, I done told you this so far, and you ain't even got up yet. I done told you how good it is just up to this point, and you ain't even started putting your swords on yet. You ain't even started standing up yet. I mean, I have told you of something that is so good already, and I'm not even done telling you about all that I got to tell you. I've just told you this much, and you still hadn't got up yet? He says, man, you better get up. I found a place that's real good. I found a place that we can get into. Man, the people down there, they are so unsuspecting. They are so unexpecting. They are so unprepared. Man, we can just walk right into their town. We can walk right into their life. We can just walk right in there and destroy and take everything that we want. We'll just completely destroy everything that they got, and we can make it our own. Man, it's a good place. It's a good land. And when we get down there, man, we're never going to have need of anything else. I cannot believe these people are living so careless in their life. And we think about Christians today. We have so much at stake. our Christian homes, we have so much at stake. We have our husbands and our wives, and we have our kids and our church. We have our church here, and then we think about our community and our, listen, the whole world. We have so much at stake. But yet, listen, if we live carelessly in our life, that we get to this place that we're no longer paying attention about what's coming in and out. We become indifferent about these things, and our hearts begin to get cold about these things. We are setting ourselves up because the enemy is sitting there, and he is watching and looking, taking notes. The Bible says here there in verse 9, he said, "Arise that we may go up against them. For we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. Are you still? Be not slothful to go." You see that? He says, "Man, I can't believe you're still sitting there. Man, come on, let's go. Let's don't waste any time. Let's get down there and get it while we have the opportunity to get it." Listen, I tell you what, the devil's working overtime in a lot of people's eyes. I'm sure you've heard this before, but I'm going to tell you again tonight too. I've heard this one time, and somebody said this, or I read it somewhere. I can't remember where it came from. But they said, "How can a part-time Christian defeat a full-time devil?" And I tell you what, that's exactly true. How can a part-time Christian that cares less about what's coming in and out of our life defeat a full-time devil that's saying, "I'm not going to waste no time. As soon as I see that you're careless, I'm moving in and I'm taking everything I got with me." And that's exactly what we see taking place right here. These spies, they come back and they said, "Man, I ain't even got done telling you how good the land is yet, and you still ain't got up yet." And he says, "Man, I tell you what, let's get up and go. Let's don't be slothful. Let's don't waste no time." Listen, the devil's not wasting any time trying to get to you. The devil's not wasting any time trying to get to your family or your church and everything else that you hold dear in love. Wasting no time whatsoever. And so he says, "Listen, are you slothful? Come on, let's go. Let's go take this place." And the Bible says, "A place where there is no want of anything," there in verse 10. "And there went from thence," there in verse 11. "And there went from thence of the family of the Danaites, out of Zor and out of Eshtol, 600 men, appointed with weapons of war." So 600 men went. And they went up. And they pitched in Kirjath-Jearim. They were pretty confident that they were going to take this place because they seen that there were no watchers. They seen that there was no deliverer. They seen that they were living careless. They seen that nobody was paying attention. They seen that nobody was watching. So they did something rather unusual. Whenever they left, they took their families with them because they already knew that they were going to win. Take a look at verse 21. The Bible says, after they left Kirjath-Jearim, after they left this, the Bible says they turned and departed and put the little ones and the cattle and the carriage before them. I mean, they left. The 600 men left. They took their kids. They took their wives. They took their cattle. They took everything they had because they were already planning on moving in. Our enemy, when he sees that we're living careless, when he sees that we are living an immoral life and we could care less about what's going, what's coming in and what's going out, whenever when we feel like that we don't have anybody to answer to and we're just living lawless in our life and we're living isolated from away from anything and everybody else, the devil just says, "Well, hey, man, let's don't waste no time. Let's get it while the getting's good. Let's go on down there and cause as much destruction as we can as possible." And they were so confident that they were going to win that they just went on ahead and brought all their families with them and brought all they had because he was coming with everything that he had. And they said, "You know what? This may be your land right now, but it's getting ready to be mine, and I'm so confident about it. I'm bringing my kids with me. I'm bringing my wife with me. I'm bringing my cattle with me. I'm bringing everything that I own with me because I'm going to slay you. I'm going to take away everything that you got, and I am going to move into that city." That's how confident the Danaites were. And I'm just trying to get us to see tonight that I believe oftentimes whenever we live a life in such a way as these people did, when the devil looks at our life, he says, "You know what, I'm pretty confident I can get this. I'm pretty confident I can win over their life today. I'm pretty confident I can get the victory over them today. I'm pretty confident that I can destroy their life. I'm pretty confident I can destroy their family because look at how they're living. They're living lawless. They feel like they have nobody to answer to. They feel like they have no judge to answer to in their life." Listen, when we feel like that we have no judge to answer to in our life and we're just going to live how we want to live, we're in trouble. Amen. And when we start living a life that is careless, so we can care less what comes in and out, we're in trouble. And when we start living a life that is totally separated from everything and everybody, and we've allowed the devil to separate us from any from all things, and there is nobody there to help, we're in trouble. And these people had planted themselves in the worst place possible. It wouldn't be bad had they worked on some of these other things. There's nothing wrong with having a large city. There's nothing wrong with having great resources. But how they were living in it was going to kill them. And the Bible says there in verse 21, they turned and departed and took everything. They took their little ones, all they had. Let's jump over to verse 27. Notice the Bible says, and they took the things after they began to fight. The Bible says they took the things which Micah had made and the priest. That's another subject which he had. And they came unto Laish, unto a people, watch this now, that were quiet and secure. They were just unsuspecting. They weren't looking for anything. They weren't watching for anything. They were just there. They were just living. And the Bible says they came to these people that were quiet and secure. They were prideful. They weren't paying attention to anything. And the Bible says, and they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire. So the Danites come in, completely destroyed everything that they got, took everything they had, killed the people that were there, and burnt the whole city. You know why? Because they were living so indifferent, living so careless in their life. They weren't paying attention to what was coming in and what was coming out. They were living their life like there was no judge whatsoever. There's no magistrate, nobody to answer to, nobody there to put them to shame. Listen, that's one of the reasons why we got the Word of God, so God can show us, listen, this is what you do and this is what you don't do. How many have ever read the Word of God and it stepped on your foot? Amen. And that's what it should do. Amen. Man, the Word of God should be grace and mercy to our souls and loving to us. But we also see the Word of God as something that is convicting to our hearts. And we see that it tells us that, listen, what you're doing and how you're living your life is not the right way. And it's not what you need to be doing. And listen, these people were living their life in such a way that there was nothing there. They was not answering to nobody. And they weren't worried about answering to nobody. And so we can see, because of these things, the Bible says in verse 27 that they were destroyed. The Bible says they came in. They were living quiet and secure. And the Bible says that they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire. Totally destroyed everything that they had. And we're going to close with this. This is in verse 28. But I want to show you something as I was studying through this. And I really appreciated this as I was studying it. The Bible says there in verse 28 that there was no deliverer. There was nobody there that could help them, that could fight for them. The Bible says because it was far from Zidon and they had no business with any man, and it was in the valley. Where is this place? This place is in the valley that lieth by Beth Rehob. Interestingly, there in verse 28, the word Beth Rehob, that the city is next to, the Bible says it's a valley, and the Bible says in Beth Rehob, in this valley, the name Beth Rehob means a broad place or a broad street. Now I want you to look at verses 27 and 28 with me, and I want you to think about Matthew chapter 7, and we think about their destruction. And what does the Bible tell us? The Bible says that there is a narrow way that leads to life, and few there be to find it. But there is a broad way which leads to destruction, and many be that go in thereat. And also in that very verse, 28, where we see Beth Rob, where this is the broad place, the very first few words of that verse say, there was no deliverer. No deliverer in the broad place. So what that shows us, I think it points to Matthew 7 and says, well, when you go through the narrow way is who? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way to life, and few there be to find it. The Bible shows us here that there was no deliverer there in verse 8 because it was far from Zidon and they had no business with any man, and it was in the valley that lieth by Beth Rehob. This place was there at a broad place, at a broad street, and there was no deliverer there. And because there was no deliverer, and because it was in such a broad place, and because the people were so indifferent and so immoral, and because they felt that they had no judge, they didn't look forward to a judge, they thought nothing of a judge, They just lived however that they wanted to live. There was nobody there to put them in any shame. They lived isolated away from everybody else, and they set themselves up, and everything that they love and care about, they set themselves up by the way they were living their life for the enemy to come right in through the front door, unsuspecting, and just come right in there and burn the whole city down and take their life. And what happened is, the Bible says, the latter part of verse 28, that what the Danites did, the Bible says, they built the city and dwelt therein. They destroyed everything they had, and they built their own city in the place. Destroyed everything they had and built their own city. And so then from this point on in the Bible, we see it was called the city of Dan. Now these were God's people that came in to take over the city. They were taking their inheritance. But I'm just trying to get us to see tonight that if we live our life like Laish, and we're so indifferent, and we live a life that's so immoral that we're not worried about a judge of all the earth. We're not worried about that it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this a judgment. We're not concerned about these things. We're not worried about what's coming in and what's coming out of our life. We're not worried about what we're giving out and what we're producing, and we're not worried about what's coming in and what we're receiving. And we don't care that we're isolated from everything and everybody else, and we're setting ourselves up for the devil just to walk right in there and take everything we got. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, God, for your blessings. Lord, I pray here this evening that you would use, Lord, your word, or have used your word to speak to all of our hearts. God, we all need it. Lord, we all need help into making sure that we live our life different than the way Laish was living their life. Lord, they had a name that meant lion. Lion is something that's fierce. But the main lion that they were missing was the one from the tribe of Judah. For there in verse 28 it said they had no deliverer. Lord, I'm praying here tonight that you'd help us all, God, to learn from the city of Laish. That we would be a people that's not unsuspecting, to be a people that's not unprepared, that we'd be a people that's not unexpecting, that we'd be watchful and sober and vigilant. Or that we'd be a people that lived our life in such a way as that we understand and know that there is a God in heaven that sees and hears all that's said and done. That we would live our life in such a way of knowing that there is a God in heaven that will bring everything about as it needs to be. Lord, I pray that you would bless the night. I pray, God, that you'd keep us safe, Lord, as we go home. Lord, I pray for this weekend as Brother Sergeant comes in and as he preaches. I pray, God, you just have your hands upon him and just use him in a mighty way. I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody that comes in that's not saved, that they get saved. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we travel to North Carolina and as we have a revival down there. Lord, I pray that you would bless that. Just help me to speak. And Lord, that you just use me while I'm there. And Lord, that if there's anybody there that's not saved, God, that they get saved. Lord, I pray that you just bless the night. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.